In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Over the next 6 days, God created the world, one by one. Light, land, plants and animals, man and woman, God created each one and called each one very good. And then the Bible says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all of their vast array. And by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all of his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all of the work of creating that he had done." God rested. He blessed the space of rest and made it holy or sacred. God did not go back on day seven to check in to make sure everything was still very good. God created rest and then he rested. And later, God commanded us into rest. When God was leading the Israelites to the Promised Land, he gave them 10 commandments to shape their lives. And one of those commandments was about rest. He said, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath day to the Lord your God, and on it you shall not do any work. Neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animal, nor the aliens within your gates, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." Rest is a part of the life God has created for us. Rest is not, however, a part of the world around us. Instead, productivity, speed, and capacity are highly valued. The more you have, the better you are doing. This 24/7 multitasking society is built around achievement, accomplishment, performance, and possession. It requires us to want more, work more, produce more, consume more now. In this paradigm, the busy life is the good life. But we know that Jesus came so that we might have life and have it to the full. And the full life, the good life with Jesus, includes rest. We've been having a conversation over the last few weeks called Becoming Like Jesus. We desire to become like Jesus because that is our highest good. And not just our own individual highest good, but for the good of our families, our workplaces, our city. And we become like Jesus by doing the things that Jesus did. And this morning, we're talking about Sabbath rest. And Sabbath is important to Jesus, but it's also an attribute of living in close relationship with Jesus. Jesus makes this really clear invitation to rest in Matthew 11. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus is saying more than take a break or make sure you get enough sleep. Jesus is actually inviting us towards himself for deep, soul-satisfying rest. And for those that were listening to Jesus at the time, this was a really new way of thinking about rest. Some people had gotten tangled up in that Sabbath commandment. The rest that God had originally intended as a gift had somehow like become a scorecard for holiness. Instead of the Sabbath being a sacred space for nourishment, peace, and joy between God and his people, it had become a rigid set of do's and don'ts. And Jesus knew this. So on the Sabbath day, Jesus is walking through the grain fields with his disciples. And they happened to be hungry at the time, and so they picked some grain to eat. And the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they show up to Jesus and the disciples eating in the grain fields, and they basically say, "You're not allowed to do that on the Sabbath." And Jesus responds by saying, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. And then a few verses later it says, "If you had known what these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would have not condemned the innocent. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Jesus is saying, "I am in charge of rest, not a rule book that a group has created, but with me, people will find real, lasting rest." God created the Sabbath and then commanded us to reserve that space of rest, and then Jesus actually embodies the Sabbath. We don't rest alone. The one who became flesh and dwells among us accompanies us in our rest. And Sabbath rest is for everyone. Hear the words of Jesus. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." Not just the people who have a quiet home, or people who have vacation days, or people who have enough childcare. In fact, Sabbath rest is actually communal. When God commanded the Israelites to remember the Sabbath, he commanded them to remember it in a way where everyone was able to participate. He said, "On the seventh day is a Sabbath day to the Lord your God, and on it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the aliens within your gates." We are meant to participate, to actually make a way for each other to rest. And rest is meant for all of us, even now. Probably better said, especially now. Even though, for those of you who are listening and thinking, "There's no way I can take a break." Even for those of you who are home right now thinking, "Life is already too quiet. I don't want any more." Sabbath rest is meant for all of us all the time, because incredible things actually happen when we engage in the invitation of Jesus to come to him and rest. When we reserve space for rest, when we participate in the Sabbath, we experience God's full creation. Sabbath gives testimony to who we are as followers of Jesus. When we rest, when we sign off, when we say no, when we set boundaries around our productivity, we demonstrate that we do not belong to the empire, we belong to Jesus. Resting is actually an act of trust, an act of submission to God. It's an opportunity for us to remember that we don't live in our own finite abilities and strengths. We rely on God. God's in control. He knows our needs and he cares for our well-being. And it's important for us to rest. You know, God wants to fill us with his love and his wisdom and his peace and his comfort and all sorts of the things that he has for us as his people. But it's hard to give those things to people who are always working, always moving, always distracted. We're made in the image of a God who rested from his work, and so we too get to rest from ours. And what an incredible testimony to a world that is always stressed out. I mean, the Sabbath is actually this beautiful invitation to the world, for it points to God's good and ample provision. To be able to say, with our schedules, with our time, God loves you so much that you don't have to do or produce anything to earn it. In fact, you get to experience rest and peace with him. That is a testimony to who God is and who you are to him. Sabbath is also a practice of resistance. Resting demonstrates that a life with Jesus exists in a different economy, one that rejects the grind of demand and production and instead values generosity, humility, love of our neighbors, and resting. Walter Brueggemann says, Sabbath is a practical divestment so that neighborly engagement, rather than production or consumption, define our lives. Specifically, Sabbath is a resistance to anxiety. Anxiety is all around us. It lives online, in our teams at work, in the classroom, in our conversations at home. Anxiety is there when we plan for the future or we assess how our lives are going. And anxiety can tell us to work harder, to push harder, to plan better, and it can also paralyze and mute us at the very same time. But when we rest, we actually starve anxiety. When we slow down, when we take a break, when we sign off, when we take a walk, we experience that restorative rest that we hear in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. That picture kind of gives us an imagination of what is available to us when we rest. The benefits of Sabbath rest are extraordinary. We gain perspective. We take care of our bodies. We're able to be present with our people. We can notice God speaking and directing and caring for us. We're able to problem solve or sort through conflict. And this is the type of deep rest that we are in need of right now. This version of our lives is really hard. It's complicated and it's painful and it's uncomfortable. There has been great loss and change and trauma this year. We need rest now more than ever. And so this week, as we practice doing the things that Jesus did, we're going to rest. So will you? At some point this week, will you rest? Now, my guess is that like 75% of you who are listening right now just thought to yourselves, ooh, can't, busy week, not gonna work. And I know, I totally understand. But I also know that there's rarely a good week for a Sabbath, but a Sabbath is good for every week. And so I wonder if we can just spend a few minutes here talking about some practical things about having a Sabbath. And I wonder if as we do, maybe your imagination or even your calendar expand a little bit for what it could look like for you to rest at some point this week. Just see what happens as we talk. So the first thing when you're thinking about taking a Sabbath or practicing Sabbath, the first thing you've got to do is you've got to plan for rest. Be intentional. Put it on your calendar. Sabbaths do not just happen. And you don't need a whole day either. It could be a half day. It could be an evening after you're done with work. Maybe it's a few hours on the weekend. Whatever you have for time, start there. And I know for some people, they can't actually manage a ton of time alone. And so part of your Sabbath might have to be in the company of other people. Part of my weekly Sabbath, I get to be alone. And the other part of it, my kids are around. And sometimes it's really peaceful and easy, and I'm able to do things that are restful while hanging out with my kids. And other times, I let them watch a movie so that I can read a book and descend into rest. So you got to plan for your rest. And then once you've planned for your Sabbath, expect something to interfere with your plan. I cannot tell you how often my plans for a Sabbath have been threatened. If someone's going to get sick, or if something's going to break in our house, or if there is only going to be one available appointment in the week, I can guarantee you it's going to happen on a Friday. Life happens. Be flexible. Don't throw out all of your plans just because there's like a new element in the mix. Commit to resting. And when you commit to when you're going to rest, pick two things to start with. You know, we can go into our rest in two different ways. We can crash into rest, or we can descend into rest. And one of the things that helps us descend into rest is by knowing what we're going to do when it's time to rest. Those things can change from week to week, and sometimes it's like a trial and error to see what's actually restful for you. But when you know when you're going to take a Sabbath this week, pick two things to start with. My list is always changing, but it most often includes some version of reading a book, making soup, going to the batting cages, taking a walk, taking a nap. That's my list. All those things are restful for me, but they may not be restful for you. But pick two things that could help you begin to descend into rest. Rest often leads to more rest. So if you know where to start, you often have an instinct of where to go from there. And when it's time to begin, when that moment has arrived on your calendar this week, when those few hours have opened up, just do two quick things to start. Number one, turn off your phone. I know, it's really hard, but we can do hard things. And number two, say hi to Jesus. Talk to him. You can do this by reading scripture, by listening to worship music, by praying, whatever works for you. Talk to Jesus for as long or as short as you want to. Thank him for rest. Invite him to join you in your rest. Ask him to protect your rest from disruption. Ask him to fill you with his love. And then the space is yours to rest with Jesus. Go slow. Do one thing at a time. And when you feel the urge to check your email or throw a load of laundry in or do something else, ask God to bring you back to that space of rest that he created, that he engaged with himself, and that he gave to you as a gift. Jesus is with you. Remember his words as you engage in Sabbath rest this week. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest.